Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 584. We'll sing Yesterday, Today, Forever. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our rock on whom we have built everything. And we praise you that that rock will stand. We praise you for his finished work at Calvary's cross, where he shed his blood and died to pay the price for all of our sins, rose again from the dead, is seated at your right hand, and we're awaiting his return. Offering salvation to us, the result of his finished work, we are saved through faith alone in him alone. And we praise you for that truth, and we thank you for all who are here today, who know Jesus, who have trusted in him as their Savior. We praise you for the Holy Spirit who dwells in each of us as your children. We do pray that if there's anyone here today who has not yet made that decision for Christ to put their trust in him, that they will do so before the service is done today. Open their eyes to see the truth and give us wisdom as we encourage one another in our faith and point us all to Jesus. Father, again, thank you for this service. We praise you that we can be here today. Thank you for every heart that's here. Bless each heart as we seek your face together. May you be lifted high. May we know you better, know one another better, and leave this place refreshed, challenged, ready to face a new week of service for you. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue.
I believe that's it. I said quite a bit this morning, didn't I? Anyway, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Beginning at verse number 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So, I wanted to mention a couple of prayer requests. We pray for Sue Ellen, as she's still recovering from her fall, that she might soon be back with us again. And pray for Nancy Fort, who fell. She's at Shenandoah. If anyone would like to go visit her, she's in room 334. at Shenandoah home up here. And then Albert Baumgartner, Sylvia's brother, passed away on Friday. And pray for his family, especially that they might be comforted at this time. And continue to pray one for another in all that we're seeking to do for the Lord's sake. All right, let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us. Lord, it's good to know that you're here with us this morning. You always are with us, no matter where we are. But here we are gathered together to worship and to praise your name. And we pray that your will might be done in each one of our lives. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the way in which you speak to us, to comfort us and strengthen us in our times of need. We do pray for the family of Albert Baumgartner that you'll undertake for them today and comfort their hearts and be with Sylvia and bless her and meet her needs. We thank you, Lord, for the work that was done yesterday. And we just pray that you'll continue to guide us in all that we're seeking to do. We thank you for the opportunity to be together for fellowship today for the soup luncheon. Pray that that might be a blessing to each one of us. We do pray for Sue Ellen that you will undertake for her and to restore her to health that she might soon be back with us. We pray also for Nancy Ford that she's in the rest home at this time. We pray that you will meet her needs and give her the rehabilitation that she needs. Lord, we ask you to guide and help us in all that we do that will be pleasing in your sight. Bless the Genesis Women's Ministry. We pray that they might have the good results that they desire as they seek to minister to these people. We pray to our Father for all of our missionaries, those in Ukraine and wherever they may be. And we pray, Father, for our country. We thank you that we have a new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. And we pray your richest blessings upon him and all those that are seeking to enact the laws that govern us. Lead us and guide us, we pray, and may your holy will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn once again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So far we have seen here in Thessalonians where Paul came with his team and started the church there. He speaks of the church in such glowing terms that they have sought to do the Lord's will and doing what he would have them to do. Talks about him turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It's a wonderful situation there in Thessalonica, this place that associated, I noticed I was reading this week, with Alexander the Great, this whole area. And this is one of the areas where the church was established firm and solid there in this major city of Thessalonica. In the second chapter, we saw the model servant of God, and Paul especially, and others similar to him that were carrying out the work of the Lord. And he had to leave quite soon. Did you know Paul only was there 3 weeks? He was only there 3 weeks. He got this church established, and then he had to move because of persecution. And this is one of the things that was such a problem there. Now he wanted them to be firmly established in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the reason that he's sending back Timothy, his associate, this one who was so faithful with the Apostle Paul in everywhere he went, Timothy was there learning more and more about how to serve the Lord. A true missionary, if you will, and one that was there with the Apostle Paul carrying out this ministry. Timothy. What about Timothy? Where did he come from? You know, it talks about there in one place, his grandmother and his mother both taught him the Word of God from the time he was an infant, right? His father was a Greek. You might say, well, that wasn't very good, was it? You know, he was a pagan, if you will, and had nothing. The Bible doesn't say he had any influence on Timothy. I don't know what, you know. I suppose he was there somewhere. But we find that Timothy got his learning from his mother and his grandmother. So that's a real job, isn't it? You know, you ladies, where you think you don't have anything to do, you've got a great deal to do, don't you? In training up these children in the things of the Lord. Even when the man who is supposed to do that is unable because he's not a Christian. So, we have here a real blessing in Timothy. He started out well. And then, if you read over in Acts chapter 17, I believe it is, Acts 17, let me see here, where it's talking, well, maybe I'm at the wrong place, 14. Oh, I had it here. 16, I'm sorry, I'll get it in a minute. 16, and look at the first part of this chapter. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Lystra was where Timothy was. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Okay? Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So he was acknowledged as a believer and as a servant of God by the local church. You see? He was well reported of by the brethren. So that's a good thing, isn't it? Here this young man has grown up and he's serving there in the local church. And him, it says, would Paul have to go forth with him and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So Paul recognized in this young man potential for service to God, and so he took him with him. First of all, he got him prepared to do a work among the Jewish people. So he went through the ritual of circumcision with him so that they would accept him. You know, being the son of a Jewish woman, you have to be, you know, follow the rules. And so he did that. And he said they started out. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith. There's that same expression again, right? Established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's what they were doing. This was the kind of work that they were involved in. And so now Paul had to leave because of persecution. He couldn't stay at Thessalonica. Everyone, the Jewish leaders were upset. And so he says that in verse 1, when we could no longer forbear. We couldn't stand it any longer. We decided to send Timothy back. Now, Paul had left, and he was in Athens. That's over in, I think that's the one that's in Acts 17. Anyway, has this desire to make sure that the church is in good hands, right? You know, you can imagine He was there for 3 weeks preaching to these people. Some of them believed, right? And here they are starting a new church, and all of a sudden he has to leave. That's, you know, the one who led them to Christ, the one who is teaching them the Word of God, had to leave. What are they going to do? Who's in charge? You know, this new guy that's just been saved 2 weeks, you know. No, he says, I have to go find out. I have to find out what they're doing. So he says, I sent them. He sent them a man. This is what Paul did, that they might, he might know exactly what it is. He sent Timothy. Notice what he says about Timothy in this verse. It's beautiful. Our brother and a minister of God, fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, and he sent him to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Here he sent Timothy back to them to teach them the word of God, to help them to understand, to answer their questions, to get them organized, to establish them. You know, this church here was established, what, in 1898 or something like that, wasn't it? And, you know, and we're still here. Praise the Lord. And here we find the church at Thessalonica needed to be established and to comfort you concerning your faith. And I noticed, I underlined in my Bible here a number of times, it speaks about the faith of these people, you see. That's what made the difference in their lives. They had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, concerning your faith. That's what he's talking to them about. What do you believe? Do you know what you believe? I hope so. You know, we talk about it a lot. But anyway, he's comforting them concerning their faith. They may have had some that were doubting. In fact, they were. They had some problems. You know, the church there, they were confused about the second coming of Christ. Some of the people were dying, and they thought, oh my goodness, they missed the Lord's coming, right? They're dead! What happened to them? Where'd they go? You know, and they didn't have the knowledge to know all of this. And so now Timothy is going to go back and encourage them and teach them. Yes, those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior, when they leave this world, they go to be with Him, right? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, we know that because we've read it in the Bible. But they didn't have that, you see? They didn't have the Bibles that we have today. So they were kind of left in the lurch. And so here, Timothy is going back to teach them, to establish them. And he says, concerning your faith. Down in verse 5, it says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. See? He says down in verse 6, but now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, your love, the faith and love that you have. Therefore, brethren, verse 7, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. It was a comfort to the Apostle Paul to know that they were standing firm and strong in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what keeps us going, isn't it? To know that we have believed in Him and that He is with us. He's given us His Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us along the way. And he says in verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. See? He didn't expect them to be full-grown Christians already in 3 weeks' time, right, or whatever. He knew there were some things that they needed to know. And so he's helping them, that he might perfect that which is lacking in their faith. So, he's sending Timothy here to go and to present the gospel to him. Notice in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. See what he says here. Here we go. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. So he was sending Timothy to different places, right? To help them, to establish them, to strengthen them. This was one of his the works that he did. I'm sending Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So Paul trusted Timothy, didn't he? He believed that he was going to do a good job in establishing the church, comforting the people, meeting the needs that they had. So he sent him to Thessalonica, just like he sent him to Philippi and other places like that. The name Timothy, it says, means the one that honors God. And that's what he sought to do as he went about proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him. So he became Paul's assistant, later a faithful companion, co-worker, a model brother in Christ. And so Paul was sending him out to help that. Then the second thing it says, Paul also wrote them a letter. In fact, he wrote two. But this is the first one that he wrote a letter to them to encourage them. In verse 3, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So Paul, when he was there, he told them, he says, you know, the Christian life is not always an easy life, is it? You know, the enemies that are going to seek to harm you, to kill you, Paul well knew that because he had been one of those, hadn't he? He had persecuted the church. And now he's teaching them, and so he's writing them this letter, letting them know that it's natural to be persecuted for Christ's sake. And this is what happens in so many places, even today. I know in certain areas where the a different religion is in the main established religion, and you go in and proclaim the gospel, you can expect to have opposition, can't you? Nigeria, where so many Christians have been killed, and over in the Middle East, especially the Muslim countries where the people are turning against the Christians, not wanting them there, eradicate them. And Paul says this is natural. Don't be upset when you have adversaries. He says we have many adversaries. There's an open door, but there's many adversaries. And so we have to continue on serving the Lord. The Bible, the believer is built up by the Word of God, right? We all enjoy reading the Word of God and knowing what it says. Notice that Paul reminds them of the Word that he had already taught them. And now he's warning them again that afflictions will come. And he seems that they don't seem to remember his words. It seems like they thought, once I accept Christ as my Savior, everything's going to be great, right? Well, ultimately, that's true. We'll all go to be with Him when this life is over. But first of all, we have to get through this life, don't we? And everybody doesn't agree with us. We know that, right? And so we have to continue to have our minds and hearts established upon the Word of God and have our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Timothy also explained again to these believers these same teachings. He went there, told them exactly what they needed to know, and established them in the faith, strengthening them. We all need to be reminded so often, don't we, of the truths of the Word of God and how we need to just continue to be faithful, even in times of distress, in times of sickness, in times of afflictions, in times of persecutions. Whatever it might be, we continue to be steadfast in our faith in Christ. You know, there's no substitute for the Holy Scriptures. We have the Word of God, right? And how wonderful it is to be able to read that and see how He has provided for us the Word that we need to know. The believer who does not know his Bible, that's none of us, of course, and the basic doctrines it teaches can be blown about with every new wind of religious teaching, you know. If you don't go back and look, check it out in the Scriptures, then somebody comes along and says the moon is green. Well, it might be, you know, I'm colorblind, I can't tell the difference. You know, some silly thing like that. Some other doctrine, or that someone else has taken the place of Christ. People do say the silliest things, but you have to check it out with the Bible and know that it's true. So every new word of religious teaching comes along, we need to examine it by the Scriptures. It's extremely important to have a personal knowledge of Bible truths, right? Study the Word of God. And then, of course, Paul prayed for them. This is one of his greatest emphases, isn't it? And so often we forget that. But notice in verse 5, he says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter has tempted you and our labor be in vain." Paul had a fear, in a sense, that these people might not have fully understood, that they didn't really put their faith in Christ, and that he needed to to assure them of the salvation that he had taught them. It says in verse 6, "But now when Timothy came from you unto us, and brought us the good news of your faith and charity, your love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, as desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore we will comfort you," you see. It comforted Paul's heart to know that these believers were standing upon the Word of God and that they were remaining faithful and true. You know, it's always encouraging to hear about someone who is doing well in his life for Christ, and distressing when someone falls away. So it says he prayed for them that they might continue on. Verse 10, "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. See? This is our greatest desire and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. This was Paul's constant practice, was to pray and to seek the face of God for these people, to establish them in the faith and to help them to grow. And this church did that. And we need to make more of prayer. You know, I know we pray here. We have our Wednesday night prayer meeting. Some of us come out and pray. I'm sure you have your times of prayer each day. At least I hope so. And there's so much that we need to pray about. And especially for the church, I would ask you to continually, day by day, pray for the church that we might prosper, spiritually especially, and that we might get more people. Pray for folks that they might be saved and that they might follow the Lord. Paul's concern here for these people was not necessarily for their health and protection. You know, we do that, and I do it all the time, and I think it's good. We should pray one for another. In fact, James tells us that, right? For our health, for our strength, and all that. And it's important so we can serve the Lord better. But the most important thing is that we might have the right sense of the nearness of God and following Him and serving Him. He was concerned about their faith. I read it a while ago, all these different places he mentions. Your faith, it needs to be strengthened. Satan is the enemy of our faith. And he's constantly seeking to put doubts into our minds. Well, am I really saved? You know, why would I do something like that if I was a Christian? Yeah? You ever think like that? Maybe you don't. But anyway, he was praying constantly for them, that their faith might be strong and that they would continue on. You know, Satan, he cannot rob us of our salvation. Jesus gave it to us, didn't he? Satan's not going to take it away. He might make us think he's going to, but he never will. What's your faith in this morning? Do you have your faith in Christ and His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary? You know, that's what it's all about. It's not my works. It's not anything I can do. It's only what Jesus did for me. You see? He died to take away our sins. He died to give us eternal life. That's the only way we can get it. Jesus said, I am the way, you know it, don't you? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus. See, that's it. And so we can tell the devil, just go on your way. I have Jesus. You don't need to be here. Move. Right? And Paul sought to help them to have a strong, mature faith. That's what he says, that I might make up that which is lacking in your faith. And he prayed earnestly for this. There's another verse over later. It says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? You know, we're going to go down and eat soup pretty soon. Huh? Well, you can still pray in your mind and heart. You know. The Lord's there, and we can rejoice in that. And then he reminded them, lastly, of the return of Christ. Every chapter in 1 Thessalonians mentions that toward the end. And here in verse 11, it says, now God himself and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all people, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So, Jesus is coming. He's coming first to take us away, caught up together with him in the sky to live forevermore, and then he's coming back to this earth to rule and to reign. And we're going to come back with him. That's what it says. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So when he comes back the second time, we are going to rule and reign with him. So here, Paul is explaining all this to us to comfort the hearts of the people. And that's what we need today. Be comforted, be assured, have that full blessing of God upon us as we seek to live our lives. Not that everything is going to be easy, but we need to trust the Lord to see us through. We must never forget that Jesus is coming again. I have a verse here in Luke chapter 12. Let me see. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Chapter 12. This is the parable of the steward and his servants. The Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whatsoever, or whomsoever rather, much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So here Jesus is giving this parable and seeking to help the believers to be ready, to be watching and waiting to receive the blessing of the Lord when he does come. Now, you can't take every part of the parable. He's not going to take and destroy us or anything like that, I don't think. But the servant here said in his heart, "My Lord delays his coming," and he went astray. We don't need to do that. We need to stay close to the Lord. We are to love and desire the coming of Christ and faithfully wait for him to return. So that's what he's saying here to these believers, to rejoice in all that Christ has done for us and to continue to serve him, to have our faith and our trust in him. And he used a man like Timothy to do that. So may the Lord use each one of us to encourage others in their service for the Lord and in their life as Christians. May we be faithful. Thank you, dear Lord, for your word to our hearts this morning. We just pray that each one of us will receive something that will help us in our life today and the coming days. encourage us and strengthen us and bless us in every way. Guide and direct by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.